堂听 class.com。
Let's get crazy！
李阳疯狂英语
，Leon Crazy English。
Lesson 23. What is intelligence anyway? When I was in the Army, I received an intelligence test that all soldiers took, and, against an average of 100, scored 160. I had an auto repairman once, who, on these intelligence tests, could not possibly have scored more than 80. Yet, when anything went wrong with my car, I hurried to him and he always fixed it. Well then,Suppose my auto repair man designed questions for some intelligence tests. By every one of them, I'd prove myself a fool. In a world where I have to work with my hands, I'd do poorly. Consider my auto repair man again. He had a habit of telling jokes. One time he said, Doc, a deaf and dumb man needed some nails. Having entered a store, he put two fingers together on the counter and made hammering movements with the other hand. The clerk brought him a hammer. He shook his head.And pointed to the two fingers he was hammering. The clerk brought him some nails. He picked out the right size and left. Well, Doc, the next man who came in was blind. He wanted scissors. How do you suppose he asked for them? I lifted my right hand and made scissoring movements with my first two fingers. He burst out laughing and said, Why, you fool, he used his voice and asked for them. I've been trying that on all my customers today, but I knew for sure I'd catch you. Why is that, I asked.Because you are so goddamn educated, Doc. I knew you couldn't be very smart. And I have an uneasy feeling he had something there.
Very good.
Lesson 24. As a child, I was truly afraid of the dark and of getting lost. These fears were very real and caused me some uncomfortable moments. Maybe it was the strange way things looked and sounded in my familiar room at night that frightened me so much. There was never total darkness.But a streetlight or passing car lights made clothes hung over a chair take on the shape of a wild animal. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the curtains seem to move when there was no wind. A tiny sound in the floor would seem 100 times louder than in the daylight. My imagination would run wild, and my heart would beat fast. I would lie very still so that the enemy would not discover me. Another of my childhood fears was that I would get lost,especially on the way home from school. Every morning I got on the school bus right near my home. That was no problem. After school, though, when all the buses were lined up along the street, I was afraid that I'd get on the wrong one and be taken to some unfamiliar neighborhood. On school or family trips to a park or a museum, I wouldn't let the leaders out of my sight. Perhaps one of the worst fears of all I had as a child was that of not being liked or accepted by others. Being popular was so important to me then,And the fear of not being liked was a powerful one. One of the processes of growing up is being able to recognize and overcome our fears. Understanding the things that frightened us as children helps us achieve greater success later in life.
Yes, that was perfect. 太完美了。
Lesson 25.
Tim Becker and his neighbors are doing something to make their neighborhood a trouble-free area.When Tim Becker gets in his car to go shopping, he doesn't just drive to a store and back home. He always looks carefully up and down the streets of his neighborhood. He looks for anything unusual, such as strange cars, loud noises, broken windows, or people gathering on street corners. Tim belongs to a neighborhood watch group in Stoneville, Indiana, USA. The neighborhood watch group meets on the third Wednesday of every month. That's when Tim gets together,with about 10 of his neighbors to discuss community safety. Members of the neighborhood watch group want to help the police keep their homes, streets, and families safe. Tina Stedman, president of their neighborhood watch group, agrees with Tim. People seem to think that crime happens to other people, but not to them. Well, it's never happened to me, she said, but I don't think anyone has the right to steal from other people, or to make them feel unsafe sitting in their own homes.Alex, a member of the group, said that all the neighbors look out for one another. We watch each other's homes. We keep watch on the neighborhood at night and on weekends. Usually, a group of four or five of us goes out together. If something doesn't look right, then we call the police. For example, if we notice a group of teenagers who seem to be looking for trouble or someone destroying property, we report it to the police. Alex feels the neighborhood watch groups help a lot in keeping crime down. Her husband Jim agrees. Police are good people, but they can't do everything.
Lesson 26. He has been called the missing link, half man, half beast. He is supposed to live in the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. He is known as the Abominable Snowman. The story of the snowman has been around for many years. Climbers in the 1920s reported finding marks like those of human feet high up on the side of Mount Everest. The native people said they knew of this creature and called it the Yeti, and said that they had even caught Yetis on two occasions, though none has ever been produced as evidence. Over the years, the story of the Yetis has continued. In 1951, Eric Shipton took photographs of a set of tracks in the snow of Everest. Shipton believed that they were not simply the tracks of a monkey or bear, and felt that the abominable snowman might really exist. Further efforts have been made to find out about Yetis, but the only things people have ever found were more footprints. Most believe the footprints are nothing more than ordinary animal tracks, which had been made large as they melted and refroze in the snow. However, in 1964, a Russian scientist said that the abominable snowman was real and was a remaining link with the prehistoric humans. But again, no evidence has ever actually been produced. These days, only a few people continue to take the story of the abominable snowman seriously. But if they ever succeed in catching one, they may face a real problem. Would they put it in a zoo or give it a room in a hotel?
Crazy Ingo. Crazy Ingo. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Wow, you're an English superstar. 你是一个英语超级巨星.
Lesson 27. I climb the stairs slowly, carrying a big suitcase, my father following with two more. By the time I got to the third floor, I was tired and at the same time feeling lonely. Worse still, Dad missed a step and fell, sending my new suitcases rolling down the stairs. Damn, he screamed, his face turning red. I knew trouble was ahead. Whenever Dad's face turns red, look out. How could I ever get him to finish unloading the car without screaming at me and making a scene in front of the other girls, girls I would have to spend the rest of the year with? Doors were opening and faces peering out as Dad walked with difficulty close behind. I felt it in my bones that my college life was getting off to a bad start. Find the room, quickly, I thought. Get him into a chair and calm down. But then again, would there be a chair in room 316, or would it be an empty room? Finally, I turned the key in the lock and pushed the door open, with Dad still complaining about a hurting knee or something. I put my head in, expecting the worst. But to my surprise, the room wasn't empty at all. It had furniture, curtains, a TV, and seven paintings on the walls. And there, on a well-made bed, sat Amy, my new roommate, dressed neatly. Greeting me with a nod, she said in a soft voice, "Hi, you must be Corey." Then she turned down the music and looked over at Dad. "And of course, you're Mr. Faber," she said, smiling. "Would you like a glass of iced tea?" Dad's face turned decidedly less red before he could bring out a yes. I knew then that Amy and I would be friends, and my first year of college would be a success. Lesson 28. At the beginning of this century, medical scientists made an interesting discovery. We are built not just of flesh and blood, but also of time. They were able to show that we all have a body clock inside us, which controls the rise and fall of our body energies, making us different from one day to the next. The idea of a body clock should not be too surprising, since the lives of most living things are controlled by the 24-hour night and day cycle. We feel tired and fall asleep at night and become lively and energetic during the day. If the 24-hour cycle is disturbed, most people experience unpleasant feelings. For example, people who are not used to working at night can find that a lack of sleep causes them to perform badly at work. As well as the daily cycle of sleeping and waking, we also have other cycles, which last longer than one day. Most of us would agree that we feel good on some days and not so good on others. Sometimes our ideas seem to flow, and at other times, they just do not exist. Lesson 29. My experience in a free school. At first, I couldn't believe it. There were no desks in rows, no bells rang, no one had to go to class. Although we all lived in, nobody made us go to bed at a certain time. There was no lights out. The strange thing was that practically all the students went to class, and very few people stayed up late at night. Only the new people stayed up or missed class. The new ones always went wild at first, but this never lasted long. The freedom took some getting used to. Our teachers treated us like grown-ups. Never did we have to play, stand up, sit down, speak out. I don't know of one student who didn't try his best. The subjects were the same as those in regular school, but what a difference in the approach. For example, in botany, we had no classes in the spring or fall, but instead, we planted two gardens, a vegetable garden and a flower garden. Then in winter, we each studied a few particular things about what we had grown. In math, the students built three different kinds of storerooms, small ones, of course, but usable. They did this instead of having lessons in the classroom. They really had a great time, too, designing everything, drawing the blueprints, figuring out the angles, and so on. I didn't take math. I can't stand it. Besides, I could do the basic things with numbers. That's enough. On the whole, I think I am a better person for having gone to the school. I can read and write as well as anyone else my age, and I can think better. That's probably a real big difference between the free school and regular school, the amount of thinking. Lesson 30. Bedtime stories are one of the delights of early childhood. But according to Dr. Julie Spreadbury from Queensland University, parents should not give up reading to their children after they enter primary school. She says listening to, reading, and discussing the stories help children's development. My research indicates that once children can read themselves, most parents stop reading to them, Dr. Spreadbury says. That may be at the end of year one, which is far too early. Dr. Spreadbury says bedtime reading not only gives children a good start at school, but brings parents and their children closer. This makes it easier for them to open up and talk to parents about things that are worrying them or things they are celebrating in their everyday life. Lesson 31. Chinese scientists are again becoming excited about the fact that a large hairy animal may live in central China. Now they hope it won't be too long before they are able to prove its existence. Their confidence is the result of a new discovery of the mystery animal in Hubei province. 10 Chinese engineers, enjoying a holiday in a national forest park, were driving down a road. As their bus turned a corner, the men were suddenly amazed by what they saw. Three tall animals, covered with long dark hair, were crossing the road. On seeing the animals, the engineers immediately stopped and ran after them. However, when they saw how the animals moved through the forest with great speed and strength, they did not dare to follow any further. The men did not take any photographs. However, scientists are delighted by the discovery, because the engineers were all very educated people, and scientists feel they can rely on what they described. After the discovery, scientists returned to the forest and collected some hair and measured footprints. About 20 inches appears to be the length of the animal's foot. Chinese scientists have now set up a special group to exchange information and make a study of the forest. But in the meantime, some people refuse to believe that this half-man, half-monkey exists. They will not believe that it is real until one of the animals has been caught.
Keep on practicing. You know, practice makes perfect. 请坚持操练,你知道,熟能生巧.
Lesson 32. The people of Burlington are being disturbed by the sound of bells. Four students from Burlington College of Higher Education are in the bell tower of the church and have made up their minds to ring the bells nonstop for 2 weeks as a protest against heavy trucks which run day and night through the narrow high street. They not only make it difficult to sleep at night, but they are doing damage to our houses and shops of historical interest, said John Norris, one of the protesters. If we must have these noisy trucks on the roads, said Jean Lacey, a biology student, why don't they build a new road that goes round the town? Burlington isn't much more than a large village. Its streets were never meant for heavy traffic. Harry Fields, also studying biology, said they wanted to make as much noise as possible to force the government officials to realize what everybody was having to stand. Most of them don't live here anyway, he said. They come in for meetings and that, and the town hall is soundproof, so they probably don't notice the noise all that much. It's high time they realize the problem. The fourth student, Liza Vernum, said she thought the public were mostly on their side, and even if they weren't, they soon would be. I asked if they were afraid that the police might come to stop them. "Not really," she said. "Actually, we are proper bell ringers. I mean, we are assistant bell ringers for the church. There is no law against practicing." I left the church with the sound of the bells ringing in my ears. Lesson 33. Eliphant was a middle-aged lady who lived with her only son John in a small house. She loved John very much. In her eyes, he couldn't do anything wrong. Every morning, she would give him breakfast in bed and bring him the papers to read. It isn't really true that he was too lazy to work. In fact, he had tried a few jobs. First of all, he was a window cleaner, and in his first week, he managed to break at least 6 windows. Then he became a bus conductor, and on his second day, a passenger stole his bag with all the fares collected. He even lost his job as a postman, because he sent off all the letters when he should have taken them to people's houses. It seemed that there was no suitable work for him, so he decided to join the army. Mrs. Fant was so excited about this that she told the news to all her neighbors. "My John is going to be a soldier," she said. "He is going to be the best soldier there ever was, I can tell you." Then the great day came when he was to march past the palace in the parade. His proud mother traveled to the city early in the morning to be sure of getting a good position in the crowd. The parade was full of sound and color, but when John and his fellow soldiers came in sight, some of the people watching couldn't help laughing at the one who couldn't keep pace with the others as they marched along. But Eliphant, who was filled with happiness, shouted at the top of her voice, "Look at them! They're all out of step except my John. Isn't he the best?"
"Great! Fabulous! Fantastic! Unbelievable!" Taiwan.
"Amazing!"
Lesson 34. Todd was working at his gas station at night when he heard over the radio that a bank in Long Island had been broken into by an armed man who had killed the night guard and got away with $150,000. "$150,000," Todd whistled. "Here's a fellow who just walks into a bank and helps himself to so much money." Todd thought of the difficulty with which he managed to get the amount of money he needed to start his gas station. So many papers to sign. So much money to pay back. The news continued 20 minutes later. The gunman had stopped a car for a ride and then pushed out the driver. He was possibly heading for the Southern State Parkway in a white Ford, license plate number LJR 1939. The voice of the announcer continued, "Look out for white cars. Don't pick up strangers. And all you folks in gas stations better not do service to a white Ford car." Todd stood up and tried to see out into the cold night. It was dark, but Todd knew the Southern State Parkway was out there. Just then, Todd saw the headlights coming at him and a car pulled in for gas. There it was, a white Ford. He saw the number, LJR 1939. "What should I do?" Todd had to make a quick decision. "Yes, sir?" Todd asked while making up his mind for sure. "Fill her up," the man said, sounding like any other driver. When the tank was full, Todd quickly turned around and pointed a gun at the man. "Hands up and get out." Lesson 35. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. Thomas Macaulay. Some 30 years ago, I was studying in a public school in New York. One day, Mrs. Nanette O'Neill gave an arithmetic test to our class. When the papers were marked, she discovered that 12 boys had made exactly the same mistakes throughout the test. There is nothing really new about cheating in exams. Perhaps that was why Mrs. O'Neill didn't even say a word about it. She only asked the 12 boys to remain after class. I was one of the 12. Mrs. O'Neill asked no questions, and she did not scold us either. Instead, she wrote on the blackboard the above words by Thomas Macaulay. She then ordered us to copy these words into our exercise books 100 times. I don't know about the other 11 boys. Speaking for myself, I can say it was the most important single lesson of my life. 30 years after being introduced to Macaulay's words, they still seem to me the best yardstick, because they give us a way to measure ourselves rather than others. Few of us are asked to make great decisions about nations going to war or armies going to battle. But all of us are called upon daily to make a great many personal decisions. Should the wallet found in the street be put into a pocket or turned over to the policeman? Should the extra change received at the store be forgotten or returned? Nobody will know except you. But you have to live with yourself, and it is always better to live with someone you respect. Lesson 36. Washo is a young chimpanzee. She is no ordinary chimpanzee, though. Scientists are doing research on her. They want to see how civilized she can become. Already, she does many things a human being can do. For example, she has been learning how to exchange messages with people. The scientists are teaching her sign language. When she wants to be picked up, Washo points up with one finger. She rubs her teeth with her finger when she wants to brush her teeth. This is done after every meal. Washo has also been trained to think out and find answers to problems. Once, she was put in a room with food hanging from the ceiling. It was too high to reach. After she considered the problem, she got a tall box to stand on. The food was still too high to be reached. Washo found a long pole. Then she climbed onto the box, grasped the pole, and knocked down the food with the pole. Washo lives like a human, too. The scientists keep her in a fully furnished house. After a hard day in the laboratory, she goes home. There she plays with her toys. She even enjoys watching television before going to bed. Scientists hope to learn more about people by studying our closest relative, the chimpanzee.
It's time to turn the tape. 现在该翻袋了。